is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Remembering Fernando Valenzuela, Dodgers legend, passing away last night. LA's police union really going after that council candidate who said F the police. But first, a mess. We got the flood in Boyle Heights.
And it just seems to get worse and worse. They delay the opening more and more. Susie, what's the latest?
They just keep on pushing it. And so at 7 a.m., they said possibly two more hours. But I keep on seeing these shots, and there's just so much water on the southbound side of the 101 in Boyle Heights at 4th Street. And this started at 1:30 in the morning. Didn't seem like that big of a deal. And then it became a really big deal where they closed both the southbound and northbound lanes. And I mean, we're talking a lot of water here. Hours ago, they opened the northbound lanes, which is fantastic because that is the commute there. But the southbound lanes, hopefully opening by 9 a.m., but they are diverting you. The southbound 101, they're diverting you off to the eastbound side of the 10. That's where you're going to go. And I did have some tipsters call and say, in all of that backup for that 101, which is backed up to Santa Monica Boulevard, State Street and the Soto off-ramp, you can't access because of Caltrans. So all the other off-ramps are jam-packed, and we're going to keep you posted on when they're going to open the southbound side of the 101 through Boyle Heights.
All right, Susie, thanks. A lot of memories for fans of the Dodgers.
Samwell on the bag, close to first double play. Fernando Valenzuela has pitched a no-hitter.
Fernando Valenzuela dying last night, reportedly liver cancer, just 63 years old, just days before the team begins a World Series against the Yankees. That's Friday. Last time L.A. took on the Yankees, that was 81. That was right at Fernando Mania, the peak of all that. John Baird, he is live at Dodger Stadium. John?
It's a shocking loss for the team, for the community, for Dodger fans. They've been leaving flowers and candles and things outside of the Dodger Stadium here next to the sign that you see at the entrance. And people have been coming by and taking pictures as well. In fact, Philip Mello lives right here near the ballpark. He and his wife, they come to games all the time. He had to come out this morning. And Philip, tell me your thoughts. I mean, you were telling me you remember even as a kid what it was like during Fernando Mania.
Yeah, I was only a small child when Fernando Valenzuela played, but even then, I just remember that it was such an important, meaningful event for people to see him play, considering his background and considering his relationship to the community in Los Angeles. And now that I'm older, I literally live on Vince Scully Avenue, I see that this event right now, I mean, although it's only really early in the morning and we came down here straight from waking up to see it, that it's going to be a really, really big event, a really big memorial and a really big uniting event for the community, not just for the sake of baseball, but just for the sake of the city of Los Angeles.
A big deal and a big loss. Philip, thank you so much for everything. And again, sad day for Dodger fans just a few days before the World Series. And as you pointed out, 43 years ago, Fernando was a big star in that series against the Yankees. They're hoping this will spur them to a victory over New York this time.
Someone who knew him and talked a lot about him during his heyday is sports broadcaster Roy Firestone, and we're going to be talking to him coming up in just a few minutes. She got caught saying F the police in a leaked audio from Cal State LA meeting with students, and this was when she was asked about the LAPD's overtime budget. Now, the police union has launched a digital ad and a website with the intent to expose, they say, what they call the city council candidate Isabel Jurado's attack on local police officers. Property management company and the union spent $100,000 on the ad urging voters in her district not to support her. The union criticized what they say is her anti-police stance. Some people held a news conference yesterday, called for her to apologize and drop out of the race. Jurado defended her comment as part of a longstanding conversation about police accountability. She is running to unseat Councilman Kevin De Leon.
Told you last week about a UCLA astrophysics professor who says his salary was too low and it left him homeless. Now he says the university's retaliating against him for going public about his pay and making those TikToks. Here's Karen Adams.
Full-time physics professor Daniel McEwen took to social media about his $70,000 a year salary not being enough to afford his one-bedroom apartment in LA, leaving him homeless. He says it forced him to have to teach online. Now,
I've been forcibly put on leave. I did not authorize this. I did not approve of this. The department retaliated against me for speaking out about how the low pay that they're offering me caused me to be homeless. And so they've taken the course away from me. My students are very upset.
The leave is paid, but he says the university is giving him the runaround over the paperwork to continue to teach online.
The leadership at UCLA especially in the physics department, has to completely change. But we have to start paying our lecturers a living wage for Los Angeles area so that they don't have to take on extra classes and extra roles at community colleges and be forced into these horrible situations.
McEwen says he's not asking to be paid what more experienced physics professors are making, just a living wage. He's also calling for Governor Newsom to get involved. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Let's play some more Fernando clips.
Fastball popped in the air, foul. Garvey, I think, has a play. And Fernando has his fifth shutout. Unbelievable.
We continue to remember the life of Fernando Valenzuela. Joining us is alive now is longtime ESPN and LA broadcaster Roy Firestone.
Roy, good morning.
Good morning, folks. How are you today?
Good, thank you. Let's talk about your relationship with Fernando Valenzuela and just this legacy he has of really bringing people together. It wasn't a game when he played. It was an event.
It was, but it became an event. At first, he was in the bullpen in 1980 before his big season in 81, and no one really knew who he was. He was kind of a portly-looking young man. We couldn't tell how old he was. Some people thought he was 25. Some people thought he was 18. They weren't sure. He couldn't speak any English, so he had everything translated. But I want to harken back to a different era. In 1957, the year before the Dodgers came to Los Angeles, because of the issue of eminent domain and the fact that because of the fact that the city wanted so badly for the Dodgers to have their own stadium, the Legion Park was cleared out of hundreds and hundreds of Mexican-American families. And for years, and before that too, but for years because of that, there was a lot of hostility and resentment, frankly, from Mexican-American families because it was mostly a Mexican-American community. People were just moved out, pushed out, take it or leave it deals that they had. Their homes were destroyed. Their communities were destroyed to make way for Dodger Stadium. So when Fernando came into the realm of people's consciousness in 1981, a stretch that included seven complete games. Just to give you an idea, there's just been maybe a team will have one complete game by a pitcher in a given year, maybe one or two. He had seven. He also had five shutouts. He struck out 68 and four earned runs in 72 innings. His ERA was a joke. It was 0.5. So it became Fernando mania. But for the first time, Mexican-Americans and Hispanic-Americans who weren't necessarily big Dodger fans because of what happened in the Legion Park suddenly became Dodger fans. And I think the stats are now that it's close to 50% of the live gate now is Hispanic-Americans and Hispanic citizens.
Yeah, it's still about half. Yeah, and the fan base stuck around.
It's about half. Yeah. And a lot of those fans were number 34 jersey. This is almost 30-plus years since he retired from the Dodgers, since he left the Dodgers. They still wear the 34 jersey. They listen to him on the radio. You cannot put in words what this man meant with his high leg kick and the way he looked at the heavens before he threw each pitch. He was almost a mythical figure.
I wanted to ask you about that because I chuckled earlier when you were like, oh, he's portly and people were trying to figure out, because it's not what you think. It's not like the big muscle six-pack guy out there, but he got up there and the way he threw with the screwball, I mean, people hadn't seen that in years even back then. And I heard somebody say this morning, people wouldn't know what to do with it now either.
Well, it's kind of true. And this is something before we had Hideo Nomo, and of course later Ohtani, it was rare for a non-white player to be viewed as a beloved figure in Dodger lore. It just was the fact. That was the time. He broke barriers, did Fernando. He built bridges. And I think he made Mexican-born people and people of Mexican heritage coming for the Dodgers full of pride and a love affair with that player. And of course, other things started to develop historically for ethnic backgrounds. As we said, Nomo would follow. And now, of course, Ohtani is what he is. But think about like Ohtani mania and Fernando mania were very somewhat similar and 43 years apart. But I think that in some ways, this meant so much to Latinos and Mexican-Americans struggling to find a sense of belonging and identity in the whole issue of sports as a way to connect. And I think Fernando was such a big part of that.
Roy Firestone there, longtime ESPN and LA broadcaster. Roy, Thanks for the time.
Denny's restaurants may not be open 24 hours in the future. We'll tell you why. And Shohei's 50-50 ball sold. We'll tell you how much it went for. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Got the E. coli outbreak linked to the quarter pounders from McDonald's. Killed at least one person, sickened 50 others in 10 states. The company's president was on the Today Show.
We are very confident that you can go to McDonald's and enjoy our classics. You know, we took swift action yesterday to remove the quarter pounder from our menu. This was swift and decisive action by us. And, you know, it is the quarter pounder and two ingredients on that quarter pounder that are under investigation by the CDC.
Darren Detweiler's a food safety expert whose son died following an outbreak of E. coli at Jack in the Box in the 90s. He says McDonald's put procedures in place to prevent outbreaks after they served some contaminated food even before that back in the 80s.
There's going to be some concern over McDonald's. How did they not have testing going on to have prevented this?
Again, they think it was the onions, maybe something else with the quarter pounder.
Denny's is struggling.
And stepping up to the plate, the return of Denny's Original Grand Slam, and it's only $5.99.
Denny's is closing 150 restaurants over the next year. It's unclear which restaurants in which cities are affected. The chain will still have over 1,300 locations, though, across the country. And another change for the 71-year-old diner chain, it's considering not staying open 24/7 anymore.
It's Denny's Grand Slam Breakfast. Denny's, you'll like our price. And you'll love our food.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Department of Transportation announcing a $50 million fine against American Airlines over what it calls serious violations of laws that protect the passengers with disabilities. Here's CBS's Chris Van Cleave.
This morning, the Department of Transportation is announcing its largest penalty ever against an airline relating to the treatment of passengers with disabilities. The $50 million penalty against American Airlines comes out of an investigation that found between 2019 and 2023, the airline provided unsafe and undignified physical assistance to passengers that included failure to provide prompt wheelchair assistance and damaging thousands of passenger wheelchairs.
There was an investigation between 2019 and 2023.
And we'll talk with our Peter Greenberg, our KNX travel editor, about it coming up in just a few minutes. Roman Polanski won't go to trial in L.A. next year over an alleged rape from 1973. His lawyer announced that the case was settled and dismissed. The lawsuit claimed that Polanski raped a minor at his home after inviting her to dinner. The woman came forward in 2017 saying she was 16 at the time. Polanski was a fugitive since 1978 because of another case, denied the allegations. He also faced defamation trial in Paris recently, but was acquitted.
There are North Korean troops in Russia. The Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, first U.S. official to confirm that, saying the North's purpose, not clear.
As we continue to look at this, there is evidence that there are DPRK troops in Russia.
Reports for a couple weeks by the Ukrainian and South Korean governments said thousands of North Koreans were training to fight with Russian soldiers against Ukraine.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken pressuring Israel's prime minister to revive ceasefire talks after its recent victories against Hamas.
I believe that with Sinwar gone, because he was the primary obstacle to realizing a hostage agreement, there is a real opportunity to bring them home and to accomplish the objective.
Blinken has also met with Saudi Arabia's foreign minister. They talked about humanitarian aid in Gaza and Lebanon and how to find a solution in Lebanon that allows people to return to their homes.
We were telling you about the big auction and the fight over the 50 ball. Well, it sold $4.4 million, so that sets a record for any ball from sports. Ohtani made history by being the first player to hit the 50 home runs and steal 50 bases in one season. Reached a milestone back in September against the Marlins. Bids came in from all over the world. Winning bidder has not been revealed. Game one of the World Series is Friday night. And yeah, there's a couple people fighting over that ball saying, I caught it. No, I caught it first. There's a new safety audit from the FAA or for the FAA, and it does not look good. And yeah, American Airlines in the news for a couple different reasons. We're live now with our KNX travel editor, Peter Greenberg.
Hi, Peter. Good morning.
And good morning, guys.
Let's start with the staffing issues for air traffic controllers. I think that's one group that, you know we need them, but they're kind of out of sight, out of mind. So bring it to mind. What problem might this pose for travelers?
Well, the FAA's got three big problems. One is training, one is staffing, and one is equipment. This is all about staffing. You have major air traffic control centers right now that are operating below the 85% staffing threshold. And what that means is that you have air traffic controllers being forced to do mandatory overtime. This is the one job in the world you don't want anybody doing overtime on, and that's a significant concern.
So no wonder we've seen more of these near misses lately.
Well, yeah, there's not just air traffic control. There's ground traffic control, too, in the tower. So both of those need some work.
Let's talk about the big fine against American Airlines having to do with people who have disabilities.
Yeah, you know, this is the DOT is now starting to flex its muscles. They had a big fine against Lufthansa for basically ethnic profiling of passengers. This is one about also about disabilities and not basically taking care of the passengers. Not only that, airlines like American have had a terrible record of basically, I'm sure it's not intentional, but destroying wheelchairs that they make the passengers check as bags, and they don't really come out of the hold that well. So that's part of that fine.
Is it high time we've seen a little muscle flexing? Because you've been calling for this kind of stuff for a long time, saying, why are they so hands off?
You bet. I mean, look, it's an election year. Whatever happens at the end of the year, I think the DOT is going to start kicking in. Remember, they promised us back in December of 22, that's almost 2 years ago, a definitive, delineated bill of rights for passengers. We're still waiting to see that.
All right. Gate lice is what they're called. These line jumpers who try to board
scurrying right up to
before it's their turn. So American Airlines, you know, this has been a big story recently. They're testing the systems to sort of flag people who do this. And
this is shaming.
Yeah. Tell
this
us about absolute,
yeah.
It's passenger shaming. You know, at most airlines these days, they have as many as 8 or 9 different boarding groups. I like the joke that if you're in boarding group number 7, that means you have a personality disorder. And if you're borderline, you know, group 8, that means you're not on your meds. But forgetting that, everybody knows if they're a frequent traveler, that if you are in one of those last boarding groups, there's absolutely no space at all on that plane for your carry-on bags, because they have more seats than can accommodate the overhead bins for the passengers' bags. So everybody's trying to jump ahead of the line. So American's testing a program now at the Tucson Airport and the Albuquerque Airport. You're going to love this, that when you get to the line and they call your boarding group, if you're not in that boarding group, let's say you're in boarding group 4, but you want to board with boarding group 2, and you put your boarding pass in that little barcode reader, an audible alarm sounds.
No.
Right. And, you know, it's like, And now, according to American, the program is working very well. For who, I have no idea. But at least they're
people
trying
afraid
that
to be shamed.
To stay in their lines.
All yeah. Right. KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg. Thanks.